You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Happy Wednesday night. Let's just open up and worship. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you that we're here. For some, thank you that you allowed us to make it. For some, Lord God, they're just thankful that they're in the presence of the Lord. For some, they're thankful they're in the house of the Lord. For some, they're thankful that they're looking at other human beings that they actually like. Some, we get paid to work with some people, but sometimes it's a privilege and an honor to be with other people. So no matter where everyone fits in that category, we thank you. Thank you for getting us through whatever obstacles we had to go through today. We were able to do it with your peace, Lord God. Father, we thank you for loving on us, Lord God, showing us unconditional love, Lord God. Father, we thank you for teaching us, Lord God, Father, to be the best, Lord God, children of God first and disciples second, Lord God. So thank you for continually working our soul salvation out daily, Lord God. Thank you even for the life lessons that even those that are difficult, because it makes us come to you, Father, for strength and for guidance. We thank you, Lord God, that we have the word, Lord God, Father, in written form. But we thank you, Lord God, that we get to speak to the living word. And the living word gets to speak back unto us, Lord God, audibly. And we thank you, Lord God, that we have not just a relationship, Lord God, Father, and not knowledge from a book, but a relationship with, Lord God, the author of the book. And that we thank you, Lord God, that we can speak to you and you speak back, Lord God. Lord God, that we can touch you in the spirit and you can touch us, Lord God, in the natural, Lord God, and in the spirit. So, Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for the development, the challenging developments, Lord God, and the easy ones. We thank you. So, Lord God, the glory and the honor belongs to you, Lord God. So tonight, Lord God, we ask you what we always do. Have your way in our life, Lord God. Speak to us, Lord God. Don't shortchange us tonight, Lord God. Give us what you want us to have in the manner that you want us to have it. And we thank you, Father, for it, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So welcome to this whatever Wednesday. What'd you say, front row? Well, it's still a whatever Wednesday because you never know what God's going to do, but it is faith series. It's a more controlled whatever Wednesday. How about that? Is that better? What did you say? Tamed Wednesday? I'll go with that. So we are going to continue from Sunday. Just so you know, every time we get together, it's going to be the continuation or moving into the next part in the series. So just so we're clear, I just want to make even. So this is the faith series, okay? And each message will have its own title. Each message may have different parts to it, but it's the faith series. So this is, we're still in, and we'll be in the faith series until God tells us otherwise. But we're in the faith series, and this one is, Faith, Is It In You? Part 2. Sunday was part 1 of Is It In You? This is part 2 of Is It In You? But the faith series. So making sure so when you watch it, because just so you know, you'll be able to watch all of the messages on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. And so I want to make sure that you're looking for the right ones. We also, we haven't mentioned this in a while, we also have a podcast that you can also listen to the messages audibly. You can go on Spotify and look under podcast, just type up Breakthrough Assembly, and then make sure that you subscribe there as well. So that way when you're in a car, you can listen to us, or your phone, you can listen to it. So in case you just want to hear the message, amen. So if you want to continue just to hear the message, you can hear the message through your tablet. If you don't want to watch it, or you can't watch it right then, you're busy, but you still want to hear it, you can just pull up the podcast and listen to it that way as well. So I haven't said that in a while. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I haven't said that in a while. So since we are full-fledged sharing with the world, I wanted to make sure that we are letting you know all the different ways that you can either watch the message and or listen to it. Sometimes you're running around and you don't have time to sit to watch, but you still want to hear it. And that's the podcast. But make sure you subscribe to it. And that way, and then click your notifications and all that good stuff. So when a new one pops up, you'll get notified that the new one is up. Make sure, too, for those I haven't said it in a long time, make sure that you go on YouTube on our Breakthrough Assembly channel, but make sure you subscribe to the channel. And then when you're done, go ahead and hit the like button. And that way, when you subscribe to it, I feel like all the people always watch you say subscribe and like. And I'm like, I hate when they do it, but then I'm doing the same thing. So make sure you subscribe to it. And then hit the notification button for all. That way, anytime there's a new one, you'll get notified on your device, whatever device that you're using. Okay, and then, like I said, hit like. Let us know that you liked it. If you don't like it, don't hit anything. Okay, just keep going. Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Like Jesse said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Very good. So part two, we're going to start, with, I'm just going to go up one paragraph from where we ended. We went over this and we're about to head into this, but I want to say, so, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Okay, so we're there? Amen. Okay, so I heard you say no. I will give you another 15 seconds as Jeopardy plays in my head. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So, in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by..." So, Let's dig into this for a moment. It says we do what by faith? So in other words, let's translate walk for a moment. We should move by what? We should move by faith. So when you walk, you're moving, right? When you're walking, you're trying to get to another place, okay? We're human, so we walk, okay? I like walk because it doesn't say we run by faith. Because sometimes we do, but we do it too eagerly. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And sometimes God will share a glimpse of how of what we're going to be in life. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to be the next. And we're running in that thing and we're not trained in that thing. You know, and so we don't we have the knowledge of it happening, but we don't have the anointing to handle it. And so with the anointing comes the power to operate in it. And so sometimes God will share with us what we're going to do or what we're going to be. And sometimes God will begin to prepare us for a title, but we're not strong enough or have the anointing of God to handle it. So we run to something and we ruin things because we declare what God said, and God said it, but he didn't say it for this season at the appointed time. Okay. And so this goes with be anxious for nothing. Okay. I've shared many times, you know, with me, but like I said, when I first became a pastor, I had the anointing of God, but I didn't have the experience of pastorhood. So I rushed what God said and ruined many things and relationships and even people. And it was a time, like I said, I went through a dark time, and God had to tell me, listen, dude, get over it. I've forgiven you. Now you have to forgive yourself so you continue to be used. And so I learned after that time, I don't want to say anything that God is telling me to say. And I have to wait till God says it's time. Because when I was younger in the things of God, I would see something and I thought it was my duty to say it when I saw it. And I had to learn later that God may show you something, but it's not time to declare that thing. And you can ruin it. You can know something, but if you don't speak it in the right season, you won't get the right result. Amen. And so it's important. This is why when Jesus was taking his disciples and he told them to, you know, pick up their cross and follow him, he taught them along the way. As they went different places, he'd show them something else. As they went to different regions, he'd teach them something else. He didn't give them a crash course in ministry immediately and said, okay, now you're going to go out. He gave them little bitty bites of the kingdom. Then he taught them how to pray. And then he showed them how to pray. And then he showed them how he prayed for others. And then he worked on healing a little bit at a time. And so this is why we walk by faith. We walk by faith. And so the disciples had to learn faith. Understand? They thought they knew faith. They thought they had faith they had faith in practices. They had faith in, because they were raised with practices of how to be, but they had to learn how to live out what they've studied. And even as children, they knew the law, but they had to recognize why the law was made, who the law was made for, and then they had to learn how to be rescued from the law. Because Christ said, I haven't come, I've come that you not be under the law anymore. And so we have to understand. So sometimes even when we are giving our life to Christ or even living for Christ, we have to learn to get out of the word slipped my mind. What's the word? Starts with a R. Rituals. Yes. And we have to learn. Sometimes we think we're doing God justice by doing that. Rituals, habits. And then sometimes we get too familiar with our I can't say the word again. Thank you. What you said, rituals. Sometimes we begin to think we're doing the will and the work of God because this is how we do it or this is how we did it. And again, as I always say, you never want to get too comfortable how you've been when you can't, move when God tells you to move. You never want to say, well, this is how the Lord talks to me and this is how the Lord uses me, because God isn't that structured. He's a God of order. But God isn't that structured. He can do all things, and we can do all things through Christ. So we don't ever want to say, this is how God moves. And if God doesn't move this way, it's not God. We never want to limit him and put him where we are. And we live in a frame. God created all frames. And so we never want to be so pompous that we say we know how God moves. Does that make sense? We never want to be so pompous that we say we know how God works. And if he doesn't do it this way, which the way we're comfortable with, we say that's not God. Are we getting that? Does that make sense? So that was one of the issues that the disciples had. They had to learn to say, wait a minute, but this isn't the way we've practiced. This isn't the way we read. And Christ had to show them that he was the impossibility. And so they had to learn how to get out of their mindset of it has to be 1, 2, and 3 in order for God to be pleased with that. Okay. All right. So we walk by faith. We move by faith. We move by faith. And when we walk by faith, we walk in God's delight. The faith is, I have faith that even if it's different than what I'm used to, I'm okay with it because it's you. Does that make sense? Even if it puzzles me, I have faith that is you, and I have faith that along the way you'll show me the way, and I will receive the ease of it later. Meaning sometimes God will do something and have you involved in it. You don't know why you're doing it. You don't know why you're saying it. You're nervous. He's not. And you're doing something. And then later on, God will reveal to you why he had you to do what he did. And then you get the ease. The issue is sometimes we don't want to do it until we get the ease. But that's not faith. Faith is doing it, saying it, when you don't know why you're doing it or saying it. You're just believing that he's using you. And so that's what he was doing with the disciples, a little bit at a time. Showing them, I know this is uncomfortable for you, but let me show you what I can do. If you trust me, let me show you what I can do. He just didn't meet Peter, say, Peter, follow me. And the next night, he was walking on water and called Peter. He built that thing up. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not supposed to walk by how we see. You remember we did this? This is limited. Even without doing this, it's still limited. I still can't see what's behind me. You understand? I still can't see in certain directions. Now, I can cheat a little bit because of my martial arts ability. I was trained how to see further than the average. But it took time to even learn how to do that. So right now, I can pretty much see everything until about right here. Normally, it's about like right here. So, but even as disciples, as we're disciples, we learn how to see further than we did, further in the things of God, when we're in him and not limited. When we're worldly, we only see one way. When we're in the flesh, we see what we see. When we're in the flesh, we get an attitude if you try to tell us something because it's not in our vernacular. Are you getting that? Don't tell me what I see. I see it clear. Yeah, you see what you see, but you don't see beyond it. And so Christ, when he comes in our life, he gives us beyond vision. Faith is, I don't know if anybody ever told me that was beautiful. Okay, I'll take it. So when he gives us beyond vision, it's beyond human sight. So we should, the more we move with Christ, we should begin to see more of him beyond the normal. Amen. So we walk by faith, not by sight. And I said, if this is true, are we living in the natural or supernatural? Now, we broke down natural on Sunday. Again, you can go back, look at it or listen to it on the podcast or watch it on your gadget. But now we're going to get into supernatural. Now, we have to understand something, that faith is connected to the supernatural, not the natural. I need you to understand, faith is connected to the supernatural, not the natural. You don't need faith in the natural. Because the natural, I don't need to believe anything extra because I got enough of my own belief. I don't need God's vision in the natural because I can see it for myself. I always use an analogy. I think I've used this analogy for about 17 years. I don't need God to supernaturally reveal to me that that's a chair. It's natural. And I know I don't need him. I don't need his wisdom to show me and explain to me the functionality of the chair. The chair, I learned that chair is supposed to hold me when I decide to sit. Okay. Now, if I'm 600 pounds, now I'm moving from natural to supernatural because now I have to believe that he's going to hold me up when I know it wasn't built for the weight that I am. You understand? So when it's a natural thing, I'm like, I'm good. Okay. But supernatural, I have to believe. And so I can't see me sitting there without it falling. So I got to go into supernatural and now believe that he can hold me up. And him and I know I don't have any business sitting in it, but he know I'm tired because I'm 600 pounds. So while I'm there, even though I may be fearful, I am believing supernaturally, because I know he can do everything. So I know he can hold me up. So sometimes when we are sitting on something heavy, we have to have supernatural faith to believe you can hold me in this thing. I'm sitting in some areas that's uncomfortable. Oh, man, if I had a couple people who believe God. I'm sitting in some challenging issues right now. Yeah, it's heavy, so I'm sitting, but I'm believing that it won't break. I'm believing that he's going to keep me in my posture. Do I have any witnesses understanding what I'm saying? So sometimes he says, when you've done all that you can do, stand with your loins girded up about the truth. But sometimes, God, I'm tired. So, Lord, I got to sit down. So I'm going to believe that you're going to hold me up while I change my posture. I'm still believing. I'm not standing, but I'm sitting. I'm not laying down. I'm not saying it's over, but I'm sitting in a tired posture, still having faith, but it's no longer natural because I need you while I've changed my position. So this is why I said Sunday is interchangeable. Sometimes you go from natural to supernatural. Something natural is what we can handle. Supernatural is I can't handle this. Natural is, okay, I found that news. I got that news. I'm good with it. Supernatural is I got some news, and I said, oh, my God, it's trying to overcome me. It's trying to overtake my mind. Do I have a witness? Some things happen, and it's trying to take you somewhere. It's trying to take you emotionally and mentally and physically somewhere. And so supernaturally, I have to believe that what you said, Lord, that it is greater than what my flesh is telling me right now. So I'm believing that you're going to hold me up and I won't fall in this time. And so this is why the challenge is we have to learn how to stop running and or rebuking challenges, because they should take us to a different posture, like on our knees, to pray that he will give us the vision to see what we need to see. You remember we talked about on Sunday, said if you have the wrong sight, you'll have the wrong what? Oh, somebody got that. Look at that. See, when you see it a certain way, you're only going to get a certain result. So when your sight is damaged, your vision will be damaged. You won't be able to see the full effect of what God wants you to see because you only saw it the way you wanted to see it. So we have to be able to get out of how we want to see it and get into how we need to see it with God. Amen. So the supernatural is the area in where you and God are in agreement. I'll stop right there. So the supernatural is the area in where you and God are in agreement that you are no longer the one controlling the situation. That's right, Jess. That's what supernatural. It takes us from, see, let me just say this. Natural, you're controlling it. Natural, when it's natural, we're the dictator. We're dictating what's happening, how it's going to happen. Amen. Like, you know how you want your house done. You know how you want to clean it. You know, so you're in the natural. You're dictating it. And sometimes you're like, okay, you clean that. You do this. You do that. You're dictating it. I'm not saying you're a dictator, but you understand what I'm saying. Oh, okay, but I'm praying for that. Don't keep saying it. I'm praying for you now. So you said it with a little bit too much joy there, Marina. So so with that's something that's natural. So, but then when God says, but I want to come into your house, now you can't operate in the natural. You can't dictate how things are going to be and how things are going to be positioned, because now you have to relinquish the control to God. And so that's a battle sometimes when God wants to come in. When you say, Lord, come into my life, come into my heart, and he come in and you're like, hold on. I don't like this. I'm comfortable this way. I get up at a certain time. I eat breakfast at a certain time. Lord, don't come in and mess up nothing. You understand? I know these friends may be a little shady, but at least I can count on them. You know all the things we say as human beings. So the supernatural is the area in where you and God are in agreement that you're no longer the one controlling the situation. Anytime we're controlling the situation, or we're controlling how it's going to be, or we're controlling the result, that's natural. That means the flesh is controlling. And it's important to know this so that when we open up our mouth and we say something, you're like, oh, dang. Sometimes it's healthy when you get to check yourself. Have you ever heard yourself say something like, boom, did I hear that out loud? Because sometimes when you hear it out loud, you're like, really? That came out of me? Like, ooh. And then you get on your knees to pray for yourself. You understand? So that's that. Now understand that when you do something under your own natural ability, this only means that you did not need extra assistance. When you do it on your own natural ability, what you're saying is you don't need the extra assistance. However, you have to understand, we should always want God to be with us. Okay, so we should always have the mind to be able to give God control anytime. We should never be in a point of tug of war with God for control. And when we are, we're fleshly. Okay. When God wants to take over and you're like, no, Lord, I got this. Okay. When God wants to bring healing and you're like, no, I'm mad and I want to stay mad. When God wants to bring comfort and you're like, no, I'm going to stay right here in my bitterness. That's tug of war with God. And that lets you know God's definitely not leading that person. And so, or you. And so it's important to understand it, because these are what I call, and I've been living by this for two decades, checking points. These are my checking points for me to check myself to say, oh, God, how long was that in there? Or how did that sneak in there? Or you know, and so sometimes God will let us say something out loud just for us to hear it and say, oh, so much work to be done. You know, just when you think you have accomplished something, and you say something, you're like, back to the drawing board. But I love it, because those are what I also call humbling moments. We should always have humbling moments to humble us, to let us know how much we will, not just we need them, we'll always need them. Amen. We'll always need them. Even on your best day, you should still say, Lord, you want to do anything? On our best day, we should always have the mindset, Lord, you can step in at any time, so that we're not stuck in the natural. Okay. So the supernatural only kicks in when all of the natural has been used. Supernatural, it only kicks in when all of it. It's like, you know, when have you ever had an exciting journey in your car where you know you're about to run out of gas and you're praying as you're headed to the gas station, and then you get to that when the car starts that scary jerk and you're driving. Praise God for most of you who've never experienced that. But I've been there before, and I remember when I had to put some change together. You know, when you got to put some change together and you got to like search your whole car. Back then it was better, because $1.98 would give you almost 2 gallons. come on. $1.98, you like, that's 2 gallons right there. That'll get me home. So you're driving and you are building your relationship with God, because you are praying strong. You are pulling on heaven. And so the car is, you know, do that, and you're like, come on, Lord, and you're praying. And so when you're about to turn in there, and you're like, Lord, if it's gonna cut off, let me turn it right into the gas station. You know, don't cut off before I get in there and embarrass me and I block other people. Some people know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? And then have you ever pulled in? I mean, one time I pulled in, and as it was pulling in, I could see it was cutting off, cut, and I was like, but I'm right there, Lord, get it. And then get there, you're like, hey! Listen, and you don't even care how you look. You don't care if somebody think you crazy, you know. So that's what I mean by the supernatural only kicks in when all the natural has been used. I'm talking about the last of the to get you there. Oh, he's waiting so all of the natural has been used before he kicks in. Why? Because he wants to make sure that you've emptied your natural tank, so when he does it, you can't say it was your ability. Woo! Ooh. I had to take my time with that one and bring it around. So he wants to make sure. Sometimes he will let you go through the putt-putt season, is what I call it. Yeah. That you're going through, and it's not steady, it's not smooth. And people see you doing this, but you think you're okay. Because you're so focused on what you're doing, you don't see how you look. Right. And people looking like, oh, something ain't right. And all you thinking is, I'm almost there. And they're like, they about to crash into something or get stuck somewhere. And that's how ridiculous sometimes we look as humans and as fleshly humans, looking like almost a chicken, you know, clucking. But we think we're in God's will. And he's like, well, I'm going to wait till they finish, and I will not kick in. Because as long as they do this and they get there, they're going to say they did it. And sometimes God wants you to know you wouldn't have gotten there without him. Are you getting this? And so I appreciate those cluck, cluck moments because it brought me closer to him. You know, I appreciate some of those fearful moments that I was like, Lord, I don't think I'm going to get there, and I need you to get me there. So when I got there, he got the glory. Amen? So sometimes God uses that to build your faith, for you to recognize how many times you were going to run out, and he didn't let you run out. Because as you took your last one, he kicked in, so it was steady motion. Amen. And so the statement cannot be argued, and the only reason that it can is because the definition of supernatural is where we're going to go today. So supernatural definition. Number one is of or relating to existence outside the natural world. Of or relating to existence outside the natural world. And Evangel, I think we're close. Got a whole team, including your daughter, on your device of translating. We're close. We're close. We have about 5 people looking for this right device to get. So we're close. Okay. And I'm about ready to just buy one and just see if it works. The only thing is, it's expensive. So hopefully we can return it if it don't work. Okay. So I think we're going to just pull the trigger and buy one. Okay. And because I want you to be able to hear it perfectly. Okay. So I think we're just going to do that. Okay. We're going to get you. We're going to make sure. I want her to be able to hear so she can shout. Amen. The way she want to shout. Okay. And that way she don't need, you know, you, what did he say? Or, you know, amen. Okay. Because I don't want your daughter being rude. I ain't say which daughter, but we know which one I'm talking about. I said nothing, so I don't know what you are hearing yourself. Okay. Number two. Attributed to a power that seems to violate or go beyond natural forces. Attributed to a power that seems to violate or go beyond natural forces. I like that one. Attributed to a power that seems to violate or go beyond natural forces. I really like that one because sometimes the Spirit of God violates our human comfortability. And we're comfortable in things, and God will violate it by changing something or altering it. And you're like, but wait a minute. Or he'll say something that will disturb our human theology. Sometimes God will say something that will make you say, and you the head tilt, and yet you have to say, Lord, I have faith that this is you with my limited understanding. But Lord, I want to get closer to you, so let me understand what you said. And then 3, of or relating to a deity. Of or relating to a deity is number 3. We're talking about supernatural. That God is putting his super on our natural. That we never think we're supernatural. That we never think we did a supernatural thing. It's always him. He's the super one. We're the natural one. So if he trusts us enough to be a part of something supernatural, no, he put the super on it. That keeps us humble. Amen. So as a singer would sing something, God's using your natural ability to sing to draw somebody into him. Or he gives you something and you're singing and healing is taking place by what you're singing. Or a musician is playing. We're the natural. You have the natural ability. He put the super on it. That way you never think it's you that did the thing. It's you that brought them there. You understand? It was him using us. His super plus our natural should always equal humility from us. Anytime we want to brag on ourselves, that's natural wanting to say natural is super. And God's not in that. Okay. Because never does God say, yep, that was me. Never does God want to, he wants the glory of us recognize who he is, but he's not running around telling everybody what he did for you. I see it this way. You know, I'm visual. You know how God wants to bless all of his children, specifically those that are obedient, okay, and living upright to him. The blessings that he does, God never will, you know how he'll use myself and others in prophetic things, and he'll say something. He never takes a message from teaching us that we can get better just so he can let everybody know what he did for everybody all throughout the week. We never have teachings if God, because he's always blessing us. So he's never wanting all of y'all to know what he did, or he would disrupt Sunday and Wednesday service just to say, look what I did service. He's not a boaster. Well said. So if we want to be the example of him, we can't either. And we should never want to have boasting in us. So number four, there's five of these. Don't be lazy now. Come on, come here to work. Of or relating to the immediate exercise of divine power, miraculous. Of or relating to the immediate exercise of divine power, miraculous. Semicolon, miraculous. Of or relating to the immediate exercise of divine power, miraculous. And then number five, of or relating to the miraculous. He is miraculous. He is miraculous. We get miracle from miraculous. He just isn't the creator of miracles. He is the founder of miracles. He is a miracle to me. Because without him, I'd already know where I'd be. Are you getting that? Some of you should be. Without him deciding to have his word to redeem us, we would have no outlet. He is the miraculous. This is why some people who don't believe in God says, well, I'm already going to hell, so let me just do what I want to do anyway, because they don't believe in his miraculous power. They don't believe in his divinity, his divine nature. So some people believe this is their heaven on earth. Go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. New Testament. New Testament. Go to Ephesians, go to then Philippians, then you'll get into 1 Thessalonians. No, I'm sorry. No, I was trying to tell you how to get there. My apologies. So 1 Thessalonians, for those, this is the first time you've turned to it, welcome. Welcome to 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Say hi to it, okay? So in 1 Thessalonians, let me hear everybody say Thessalonian. Oh, you sounded beautiful. Amen. So in verse number three, now this was another one that Apostle Paul was writing to them. Okay. And in three, he says, Three, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Remember, without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. He was talking to Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus about the church of the Thessalonians, okay, at that time. And he was preparing them for working in the ministry, of making sure they were able to continually to teach this. Now, he says for knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. This is number five. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in what? And in what? Does everybody have this? Are you just making up stuff and acting like you're in Thessalonians? I used to do that. I couldn't find a book, so I did that. But I was too prideful to ask my neighbor, how do I get to that? How do I find it? So I would just, you know, we're supposed to be in Thessalonians, and I was in Deuteronomy, and I'm like, good times, man. Good times. And every time when I would do that, I would be praying. See, I'm telling myself, obviously on national TV, telling myself why the public can see me. But listen, I don't care anymore. And I would be praying, building up my faith in my prayer. Lord, don't let the pastor call me to read that scripture. Because I'm like, I'm in the wrong book. And it really would have been something. It would have been embarrassing. So it says in number five, verse number five, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And the sixth says, and became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So it's speaking of a trying of our faith. Our faith will be tried. And this is the thing that we need to understand. The faith is tried to build you. It builds and it should strengthen your relationship with God. It's like when a relationship is tested, you find out if it's real. You know, when an issue comes, when the devil comes in, you find out if it's really, you find out the real reason the person is with you. You find out why they stay. And then after a while, you find out we're stronger. We went through something together, you know. And so what I call battle tested. Amen. And so it's a good thing. The trying of our faith is the building of our faith. It's not for us to reject it. It is for us to recognize that we're stronger in it because of what tried us. Amen. Okay. Now that you guys are just turning and turning in your Bible, go to 1 Peter. Tell them I said hi. 1 Peter chapter 1. The brew bar will be open. Get you a cup of coffee. Oh. So you try to act so tough when he's here, but when he's gone, you're like, I miss my man. Yeah, that's what I interpreted. He said, I can't sleep without him. And what I heard is, I miss him so much. I'm going to give him a big hug and kiss. Verse number 7. That's what I'm going to tell him. He said, that verse number 7 says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found. Ooh, I want to preach. I'm like, somebody get on that organ. Okay, woo! That try with fire part got in my right calf, Jess. that the trial of faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, gold perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found. See, you see what that word, you better underline that thing, you better highlight it, might. See, this is the thing we say, that might, you got to go through the things. It's not a guarantee. Just because you know God doesn't mean that there's any guarantees. Just because God has used you doesn't mean there's going to be guarantees. Amen. This is why I always say you got to get to the finish line. You got to finish the thing. It's not about starting it. It's not about being a part of it. It's about finishing. Because if you don't finish it the right way, it don't matter what you did in the middle. Amen. It doesn't matter how good your intent was or how on fire you were with God. If we don't finish that thing to the end, he won't be pleased. And he'll tell us, depart from me. You never work of iniquity because you never knew me because you weren't chasing me. Yeah, right. Come on now. You weren't trying to be pleasing to me. Are we getting this? One more time. That the trial, I'm getting excited. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's saying that it might be, if you do it the right way and you keep putting him first, if you keep putting your flesh under your feet to make sure that you can be humble, that you will get to the glory and the appearance of him. But if we don't keep killing our flesh, we will become more fleshly and we will miss the glory of his appearing. And we never want to miss that because we get so pumped up of our own self and our own ability because he's used us a few times. The thing that there's a few things I love about being a pastor. One thing that I love about it is it's always on to the next. It doesn't matter how good God worked on Sunday. He's working on me for the next Sunday message. I can't get stuck on whatever happened. It doesn't matter. We've had some times on our whatever Wednesday. Don't matter. I got to be ready for the next Wednesday. And I love that. And even when there's a healing or something, me and my wife have been praying for somebody and they get that breakthrough. Okay, now you got to stay firm in that thing. It's not, we can't keep celebrating that you got the healing. Now that you're healed, you got to stay upright. Okay, it's a continual thing. And when we do it right, we're never stuck on what was. We have to be focused on, well, what are we supposed to do now? We got to stand. We got to get strong in the now to build on that thing. And I love that because it keeps my mind on what God wants it on and not what my flesh wants it on how I was used in the thing. Amen. I'm sorry, God made me silly, but he made me this way. He made me silly. I'm visual, so it's funny. And my child will attest to this because she will call me out if I'm not telling the truth. Never, me and my wife got home after Sunday, and I was like, girl, we tore that thing up on Sunday, didn't we? Never have we ever gone home and I was like, girl, I preached that thing, then a girl. And she was like, you showed it. And it was like, shoo. Did you see when that one ran up to the altar? Like, that was me. And she never said, oh, did you see when I was counseling that person, I was holding their hand, did you see their head go back like this? That was the power in me. Never has she got off the phone with one of the ladies and come in there and be like, ooh, I tore that prayer up. Did you hear me? See, and I say that in a light way, but it's true to say that the reason that God trusts us, because we're humble. We know it's nothing about us. We're just so thankful that he used us. And we're still in shock 20 years later that he used us. We're just so humble. We're like, I don't know why he keep doing it. He trusts us. I don't even know why. So you understand? So it's important that when we're talking about faith, is it in you? Faith, is it in you? And because we talked about natural, we're in supernatural now. Go to 1 John. 1 John. We turn in some pages today. Just go a couple pages over. First John 5. Oh, God, help me. I'm thinking, you know, the contrast between what I said about me and my wife is I know the tricks of the trade. And so sometimes you can always tell, you know, I as a teacher, I always want anybody that God has sent to this church to be in this ministry. I'm a teacher at heart. Okay. So I don't call myself a preacher. I'm a teacher. Okay. And I love people being educated. I love people being better than they were. And that gets me going. If I feel like I was able to teach it and somebody got it and they caught it and now they're able to teach it, that gets me pumped. Then I'm like, yes. Or I forgot something I taught and somebody will bring me back and tell me what was said and they tell me how they're using it. I'm like, yes, it's working. It's working. But a trick of the trade is you can always tell when somebody is fleshly and not humble. And let me tell you what they do. This is a secret glutton moment. They'll say, so tell me, what was it about what I said that blessed you? Or they'll say, tell me, you know, when I said that, you know, what did you get from it? I'm telling y'all, secret. I'm giving you behind the curtain. This is secret praise. What they're doing is saying, praise me, but let me do it in a way that doesn't seem arrogant. You see how quiet it got in here? Somebody was like, oh my God, such and so just said that. So this is why you have to be careful of that secret praise. That just got somebody. So it's important, Mom. Why are you looking at me like that? So this keeps us what I call our checking points. You know, whether we're doing it or somebody that we're with doing that, be careful. Because Jesus isn't even doing that to us after he blessed us. He's just telling us, now go work in that thing, go operate. He's not trying to make sure. He's like, come on, tell me, how good was I? Why'd you pass out? Why'd you fall out? Tell me why you call my name. What made you call my name and say Jesus the way you did it? He doesn't even do that. So, I said God made me this way. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, we're going to hit 4. This is one of my all-time, this was my scripture. When I first became a pastor, this was the one. Don, don't keep nodding your head like that. I ran this bad boy in the ground. This was a part of the church. I ran this thing in it, put a whole, I was like, say that scripture. I was like, every member back then, I said, you better know that scripture. Like, you come in this building, you better be able to recite it. First John 5:4, it says, what? Yes, man. Listen, I love it. I love it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Boom. Whosoever is born of God, if you're born of God, you will overcome the world. You got to know what your entitlement is. You're entitled to that when you give your life to him. When you tell him to come in and he's really in and you're not playing tug of war with him, when he has control, you will become an overcomer. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Come on, somebody. So when we talk about that, we're overcomers, but we're overcomers by faith. By faith. You'll learn it. You got to believe it. You'll get the ingredients, but first, you got to buy the goods. You got to agree that he is. You got to believe that you are what he said you are, an overcomer. You got to believe there's things that you're going to overcome that you never thought you'd be able to overcome. But you got to believe that by faith. Yes. By faith, not by natural ability. Because if you can do it in the natural, you didn't need him. Right. Whew. Man, I done preached myself happy. Oh, well, amen. I received that. Let's go to, let's see what James is talking about. Let's say hi to James. Let's go over to James chapter 2. And so let's just start at 14 and we'll end it at 17. We'll 14 to 17. James chapter 2. And we're going to start a passage of verse number 14. Amen? Amen. Anybody need a little bit more time to get there? I'm holding. Okay, Abraham, you all right? You're letting them study and read? Okay. I don't want to have to get somebody to rough you up a little bit. Okay, he's good. Okay, amen. All right. Get the junior squad to rough them up a little bit. That's right. You heard her girlfriend. She know where it's at. All right. So in verse number 14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Ooh, I love it. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. See, I love that. James broke it down. He's like, listen, how you going to tell somebody that's naked and hungry and they come to you and you tell them, I'm going to pray for you? Really? He's like, you can keep your prayer. You got some jeans, a T-shirt, and a sandwich? Are you getting this? Faith is dead without works. You got to do something. That's what it is. Is it in you? Don't say what you know. Don't quote a scripture at me when I'm naked and hungry. Clothe me and feed me. I came to you naked and hungry. I want to leave clothed and full. In this ministry, people come here, God send naked people. Not really. Spiritually naked. We record. He does not send naked people to us. Okay. Okay. So somebody online, blasphemy. So he sends people here with not clothed properly in the spirit realm and hungry for the word and for his spirit. And when they leave, they should feel covered and fed. Not just saying, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you throughout the week. So is it in you? Is faith in you? Are you going to believe God when somebody else says that's not God? Are you going to believe God when somebody else says that's crazy? Are you going to believe God when they say, well, who do you think you are? Are you getting that? Yes. That was a virtual high five. I could. No, you did. We had a moment. That was a virtual high five. I was too tired to get off the stage to walk right, so I just had to give it there. See, this is the thing. Are you going to have faith to stand and declare when everybody else says no? Are you going to? See, this is, sometimes there won't be another one to touch and agree with you. Not all the time will it be two or three gathered in his name and he's going to be in the midst. That's cute. But sometimes it's you. And you are the disciple. You're the chosen one to say it. And are you going to walk saying, listen, I know what God said, I'm going to say it, and sit down and eat some food? Or are you going to let the enemy eat at you? Faith, is it in you? You have to see, when God is worked with you and worked with you and worked with you. You have to know when it's the voice of God and the voice of flesh and the voice of the devil. But as we grow in this thing, you become a better person to be able to, what'd you say? Yes, that's the word, decipher. You know, you have to be able, but you won't immediately. It comes. And then you'll be able to, the other D word, discern. What spirit did that thing come from? Did that come from the spirit of God, or did that come from the spirit of the devil? Because don't think, just because I say it all the time, now Darrell can take it around the world because now he understands this. Just because people come to church don't mean that God is dwelling in them.
Amen.
And just because God has dwelt in them doesn't mean he's always. Right. Because every day we have a choice, a free will, to decide whose report are we going to believe.
Right.
Okay. And so this is what I said. Don't get it twisted. You know, and so with that. Faith is it in you? If you can't believe any and everything God says, even when you're like, I don't like that, but you can say, but Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I'm here for you. Okay, I've said it months and months ago. You don't want to slow down so much as saying, well, Lord, when you reveal it to me, then it'll be true to me. That's not faith. That's not faith. Lord, when you bring the revelation to me, then it's real. That's not faith. So as James said, that's dead alone. Yep. It's dead alone. It's isolated. That's death. And so we don't want to be tricked by the enemy, saying that we're of faith, but we have to be in agreement with it. You know how many times our flesh is trying to tell us to go a different direction from where God is calling us to go to. And once we can recognize it and say, listen, I would rather do this than this. Now we're being honest. So I got one last one. Being unified with God, Christ, and also ourselves. When faith is in you, you're unified with God. You and him, you're in unity. Okay, it's not a tug of war of wills. Okay. You can also, another secret thing, and then we'll be done with this one. Another trick I'm going to give you behind the curtains. You can always tell when somebody is not operating in the spirit of God, when God is moving and that person is not. I says you can always tell when somebody is not operating in the spirit of God, when the spirit of God is moving, but that person is not. It goes when we said we walk by what? Faith. But I also said, but another word for a walk is what? Move. And when a person isn't moving by faith, when they're not moving because they don't like it, they don't agree with it, or they don't see it, and they're not moving, that's not faith. When a person says, you know what, no, I won't move on that one because I'm not in agreement with that. I've said this for 18 years. I can't tell you how many things I did not agree with what God said, but I did it what he said anyway. And then he showed me later why he's God and I'm not.
Right, exactly.
And so now God can say anything to me, the most ridiculous thing. And some of you, I've seen the development of you, that your faith steps have gotten taller. Okay, and it doesn't always have to make sense. You don't have to have a certain money dollar amount in your bank account for God to do something for you. But there has to be unity with you and God. And I told you all the time, the devil goes to church more than anybody. So don't think just because you see somebody in church, you're like, well, I just thought they were okay. Listen, how many times did you come to church and you wasn't okay?
Right.
Okay. So go to the last one. Go to the book of Hebrews. Go to your left. Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 12. I know you thought I was going to hit 11 because that is it. That is it. It's the book of faith. We're going to finish this bad boy with Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to do verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Are we there, or we need some more time?
Amen.
Okay. Vinka said I can go, so if she says I can go, I'm going to go. That's right. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse number two. Ooh, I feel in my right calf. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus. Let me just keep going for a moment because I'm excited. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he received. Listen, I need you to understand, God, when you are in his will, he's going to be on you more than he's on anybody else. He's going to stay on you. It's called chastening you. He's going to be on your butt, making sure you do the right thing because he's invested in you. There's a certain time he's like, listen, quit talking about glory days. Glory days are over with. I don't even want you thinking about the stuff you used to be able to do. Before you used to be able to think about it and do it. Now, if you even think about it, I'm on your butt. And before you can get halfway through your mind, you're like, what? He's like, I done told you. Because I need faith in you. Not lust, not desire, not rebellion. Oh, you missed that. I want faith in you. Not rebellion, not discord, not anger, not sadness, not depression. I want faith in you. I want, when something comes up, faith kicks in. When something is said, faith kicks in. When something happens, faith kicks in. When something is said over you, you're like, nope, because that does not go with what God said, and I believe what God said, faith is here. Are you understanding? Because the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you know that, you should be looking. You be like, oh, you looking. Oh, I know what the devil looks like. I know what the devil sounds like. I know what it feels like when it's the devil. And because God is no respecter of person, we can't be either. This is why we have to learn. It can't be about such and so. Oh, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. My favorite is who's living by God today. It's not about, oh, I love me some so-and-so. I can put a past tense on a loved. But I got to keep my love for those that's fighting. For those that's being chastened. For those that's being corrected by the word of God. Faith, is it in you? He's not talking about feelings, is it in you? He's not talking about loyalty, is it in you? He's talking about faith, is it in you? Jesus walked and showed us that faith was in him. It wasn't in the people that he was familiar with. And after a while, he said, I can't even go back to my own hometown because they after me. So it can't be about where you started. It can't be about who you had Bible classes with. It can't be about who you went to high school with. It can't be about who you bought your first Bible with. It can't even be about who led you to Christ. They led you to him, but they led you to the one to serve, not the one you serving and the one that was leading you. Nobody should get the power, the glory, the honor, but him. Not even the person that asked you, they were speaking, and whatever they said, it made you want him and you gave your life. No, they were a tool that was used by God. He is the one. He is the redeeming one. Our faith is in him. That's why he said, put no trust in no man. That's why I said, he gives us the power to attain wealth. And I'm not even talking about finance. The wealth of the knowledge of God. He gives us the power to tap into. He gives us the power to attain something without a high school education. He gives us the power to be able to read something that we struggled in high school, but somehow we can read the word of God. We could listen in school, but we can listen to the word audible. He will give you the power to attain the wealth of being able to retain what he said. So faith, is it in you? Not loyalty. Let's get out of the natural stuff that makes us feel like we're a good human. If we have qualities of loyalty, I'm loyal to him. I'm faithful to him. Are you getting this? So I wrap it up. You know, we see commercials all the time for decades now of the product Gatorade. It's still going strong. For all of you healthy people who don't drink it, it's still going strong. Gatorade didn't need you. For all y'all to say it's too sweet, it didn't need you. For all y'all to say it's bad for you, it don't need you. Still going strong. Michael Jordan has been retired for 50,000 years, and Gatorade is still going strong. It didn't even need Michael Jordan. It started with him, and he retires to Gatorade, still finding a newer people who will grab it. That's how it is with God. You thought God needed you to get something done. Listen, you can retire. You can sit your butt down. He'll find somebody else that'll do it. You understand? If all y'all said no, AJ will say yes, just long as he ain't first wake up, because when he first wake up, he don't even know what city he in. But when he recognize, where he at, you can use him. So, in those commercials, they show us what's inside of us and which helps us do the things that we do. It showed us when you put Gatorade in it, it gives you a strength to be able to do something. And that saying, in the case of the commercial, they're referring to a drink. If Gatorade can help you go over and beyond your natural ability, just imagine what faith could do if faith was in you. If Gatorade can motivate you to do things that you normally couldn't do. Imagine if you exchanged Gatorade with faith. So I leave you with a very important question. Is it in you? Faith is what we're talking about. Not another substance. Not words from another person. Not a thought from another person. It's faith in you. We conclude part two of this one, of this particular message. And I want us to really take some time to find out, is faith really in me, or have I been so busy concentrating on works? Because that's dead alone. Did I really believe it, or did God just do me a solid? Was I really faithful, or did God just grade on the curve? And he did it for me because he didn't want me to quit. He wanted me to keep going on. But did I really deserve that passing grade? Did I do it with good intention? Did I do it with a good heart? Did I do it, hear me, with a good attitude? Should God have pulled me aside and said, your attitude was bad, even though you did it? And he passed me, but was that his grace? We want to be able to do what God says, in spite of what he says, no matter how little or how big it is, how crazy it is, or how amazing it sounds, and saying, yes, Lord. Lord, I believe you. Lord, you can use me. Lord, you don't have to have a ram in the bush. Lord, you don't have to have somebody, you don't have to have a B plan. Lord, I'm going to do it. And Lord, you don't have to wait for 2 weeks for me to pray on if it was you. I'm going to say yes, Lord. Because when you say yes, how can you fail? When you believe in God, and this is why when people say, what if you're doing all of this stuff, living for God, what if God's not real? And I've always said to the people, let's play your game for a moment. Because I said, let's play your game for a moment. If I leave this earth and this isn't real, I left the earth a better person. Because I did everything trying to be the best person I could be. So you tell me what's wrong with that, trying to be the best person. Tell me the negative aspect of trying to be the best human being I could be. And then I say, now let's flip it. I played your game, now let's play my game. Let's imagine that God is real and you died as if he wasn't. I'm going to be with him for eternity, and you're going to be tortured forever. So I always say, I like my odds with the game we played than your odds with yours. Because faith is in me. I believe on things I cannot see. I believe, hear me, in words I have not heard. I believe in God of things he hasn't even said to me, but I believe he will. I believe in places God's going to send me that I have not been. I believe, and I've said this over the pulpit, I believe in people that I will meet that I have not met yet. I see people now that I prayed for 10 years ago when I wasn't ready for you and you wasn't ready for me. I believe in God. He's done too many things that he's shown me already for me to say he's not real. He's answered too many prayers. Who could answer them? I put them out somewhere. Somebody was powerful enough to hear what I said and do it. And there were things I couldn't manifest. So when people try to be used by the enemy and they try to steal your faith, you better make sure it's in you. When you say, if that person failed, it can't be a God because that was the strongest person I know. No, you thought they were strong. But they were strong in flesh. They were strong in natural. And God can use a person operating in the natural if he needs to get his point across. Don't think he can't use a natural person to get what he want accomplished. Yeah, that was in my head, Joanne. That was in my head. I ain't want to say it because I don't want nobody thinking I'm calling somebody a donkey. All things are possible with God. So just because you're being used or somebody's being used doesn't mean that they are operating in the will of God. And that's what we need to know. So don't you dare compare. I always say stop comparing, but some of y'all won't ever stop. Stop comparing your faith with somebody else's and you looking at them and think that you don't have the same faith they did. First of all, you have no idea what's really in them. You only see the appearance of what looks like faith. Are you getting this? Well, party people, that's all I got tonight. Okay. So, we have finished Is It In You? And Sunday we'll start anew. Amen? Now that I've said that, are there any questions or any comments before we say goodnight to each other tonight? Good. All right. Amen. All right. So let's close in prayer. I gave about 3 seconds, Darrell. Don't be lying, son. Give you a chance. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this message. Thank you for this series. Lord, you had me to keep saying by the time this is over, we're going to just be oozing and dripping in faith. Thank you, Lord God, that right now some people, it's been 3 messages of faith, and some of us are starting to rub it up on us, just rubbing the faith. We're starting to lather up. We're not dripping yet, but we're lathering up in faith. I thank you, Father God. Thank you for what you're doing. And I know, Lord God, without a shadow of a doubt, there is no way you would have us going on a series of faith unless there was some things, and this year, you're going to need us to believe that it's you. Yes. Woo! You're going to show us some things that you're building up our faith that you got some crazy things you're going to have us to do. And you're building us up to say, yep, I believe it. You're too good. You've done it too many times for us, Lord. For a series, talking about almost 2 months of this, Lord, you got something crazy big. I thank you, Father, for it. Thank you for loving us and trusting this church enough to give us the assignment of faith. I thank you that it continues to go on good ground. I pray, and I thank you that it continually to build us up, Lord God. I thank that we continually grow out of our flesh and grow into the spirit men and women that you called us to be. I thank you that you called all of us to be used, Lord God. I pray that there's not one person here that doesn't have an assignment by you, Lord God. I thank you that no person here is, Lord God, not important. Every person here is significant. Every person here you want to use, Lord God, individually, independently, but Lord God, for the collection of the ministry. I thank you that your kingdom will be expanded. I thank you that it's all about you and not about us. I thank you, Lord God, that we only want people to get their breakthrough, but to get to you. Not just to come to breakthrough, but to get their breakthrough. But the ultimate goal is to get to you. So I thank you that you chose breakthrough to let people break out of what they've been stuck in to get to you. That you are the reason that we speak about you. You are the reason, Lord God, that we speak our testimonies, Lord God. You are the reason. Let it always be about you and never about us. Let it be about what you said and not about how we feel. So I thank you. You are wonderful. You are miraculous. You are magnificent. You are marvelous. I thank you. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere because we can't be. You're perfect and we can't be. You're all-knowing and we can't be. I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you. And I pray, Lord God, that we continue to give you the praise that you deserve. I pray that we continue to give you the honor that you deserve. And I pray for everyone that's here and everyone that is watching and everyone that will watch this later. I pray that they recognize that it's you that's speaking directly to them. That what they feel is your presence. That those that didn't think you were real, that they will feel you and recognize that it is you. That they will give you another chance for those that say they'll never do it again and never give you an opportunity. I pray that they recognize that not only that you're real, but that you love them. And even those that felt like they've never been loved, that they'll feel the love right now at this moment. I pray that you use everyone here and listening. Equip us with the patience and the love and the endurance to be used by you, even when it feels that we're being crucified and forsaken. If we do it for ministry purpose, then it was worth it. Because you said we would be persecuted for your name's sake. So if we have to be persecuted, attacked, spoken negative about for you to get the glory, then it's worth it. So I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless. Give somebody some love before you get out of here tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.